morning. I am excited that I get to worship with y'all here at our Hayden campus. Love getting to be here. And like Gabe said, we're in this series called A Simple Christmas. And as we kick off today, I want to give you a question to think about. What was the last message you received before you walked in here today? Maybe it was an email. Maybe it was a text, a social media post. It might have been an advertisement on the way to church today. What was the last message you received? And the fact is, most of us will receive dozens, if not hundreds, of messages every day. In fact, since you've been here today, you've received some messages, right? We want to connect with you. We heard about Christmas Eve services. We heard that if you want to get baptized in the lake, Gabe's going to be a big baby and not do it, right? I mean, we've got several messages already today. I don't think it was that way. In fact, I know it wasn't that way in Jesus' day. Like, you might go an entire day and not get any messages, especially if you're in a rural area. You might be out with your flocks. You might be the only one with them. Think about that, going an entire day with no messages at all. Because of that, I think they valued messages far more than we often do, getting bombarded with dozens or hundreds of messages and trying to figure out which ones are the ones we need to pay attention to. And because of that, I think we could potentially miss the most important messages. Today, our sermon is called A Simple Message. And we're going to be looking at a couple of the messages that God gave people surrounding the birth of Jesus and how those people responded and how it could guide us and how we're supposed to respond to the messages that have been given to us. If you haven't been here with us, when we talk about a simple Christmas, we're not talking about one that doesn't have decorations or presents or planning or anything like that. We're talking about more of a simple focus. A simple focus. What should we be focused on at Christmas? And that focus is Jesus and celebrating his love for us. There's lots of things we could focus on, but we're going to focus on that. And last week, Gabe did a good job of talking about a simple story and the fact that the story that we celebrate at Christmas is not our story. Like, so many times we're so focused on our version of Christmas, we miss the fact that there is an overarching God story that's happening. Do we have the humility that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph had to be able to go, God, no matter what else is happening, I'm here to celebrate you. God sent an angel to both Mary and Joseph to give them messages. And here's what I find interesting about those messages. They didn't get all the details. Like, they didn't hear that there was going to be no room in the inn. They didn't hear even that they were going to have to go to Bethlehem. The angel did not tell them a lot of the circumstances. He gave them messages to go, here's what I'm doing, and I'm going to be with you no matter what you go through. This week, our main point is this. We've been given a message. Have we allowed that message to change us? And do we share that message with others? And here's what the message is. God loves us so much, there are no lengths that he wouldn't go to actually bring us back into relationship with him. Even if it means he has to leave heaven, become human, and then die on a cross for us. That's an amazing message, is it not? And yet so many people have a hard time receiving this message. I think sometimes it's just things like the virgin birth. They're like, really? That seems suspect to me. I find it interesting that some of the people that have a problem with the virgin birth also would say, yeah, I recognize God's out there. There's a creator. Like, you recognize he created us, but you don't think he could pull off a virgin birth? But whatever. I know other people, for them, they're like, I don't get why God would leave heaven. Like, that doesn't make sense. Why would God leave heaven, perfection, perfect relationship, and become human? That seems dumb to me. In fact, it reminds me of a story of a guy that that's really where he was at. And he wasn't a bad guy. He was generally a decent guy. But he's just like, I just don't buy this whole Jesus coming down to earth and becoming human thing. In fact, so much so that on Christmas Eve, as his family was getting ready to go to Christmas Eve services, he told his wife, he's like, hey, I don't want to create a problem, but I'm not going to Christmas Eve service with you guys this year. I would just feel like a hypocrite because I don't believe all that. Why would God do that? So his family left for Christmas Eve services. He said, you guys go, I'll wait for you till you get back. And as he was watching them drive off in the window, snow started falling and then the flakes got bigger. And before long, it was a full-on snowstorm. And so he went over to his chair by the fire and he sat there waiting their return. And it wasn't long before he heard this thump on the side of his house. And he's like, that was weird. And he heard it again and he heard it again. He's like, are kids throwing snowballs at my window or what's the deal? And so he went over to investigate. And when he opened the door to his porch, he found a flock of birds that had gathered in his front yard that had been caught in the snowstorm. And they were just there freezing. The snow was piling up around them. And he realized that the thumping were birds trying to get into the safety of his house, running into his window, not realizing they were there. So he turned off the lights so that they wouldn't keep doing that, but he thought, maybe there's more that I can do. So he put on his boots, he put on his coat. He went out and he's like, I'm gonna see if I can get him to go into my barn. His barn wasn't too far away. He opened the door, he turned on a light, hoping the birds would follow him into the barn to get out of this snowstorm that could kill them. And they didn't go. He's like, maybe I could entice them with food. So he went and got breadcrumbs and he created a trail from where they were into the barn, but they didn't go. He's like, I gotta get them in there. I've gotta see if I can save them. And so he tried to catch them. He couldn't catch them. He tried to shoo them into the barn, but they wouldn't go. And he realized they're just afraid of me. To them, I'm this strange, scary creature that they don't understand. It's like, really, the only way they could understand is if I could speak their language, if I could be like them. And like, really, the only thing that would do it is if I could become a bird and join them. And then I could communicate with them. They wouldn't be freaked out by me. And then I could lead them to the barn to safety. And at that moment, the church bells from the church down the road rang. And it dawned on him, that's what Jesus did. God, before that, was a scary being to us, one that we didn't understand. In order that we could get the message that he had been giving us for thousands of years, he became one of us so that we wouldn't be afraid of him, so that he could communicate in a way that we could receive. What an amazing God we serve that would do that for us. Besides the messages that the angels gave to Mary and Joseph, there are two other messages that I want to look at today. The first one occurs right after the timing of Gabe's message last week. A lot of the message last week was focused on the birth and what that meant for us. This, where we're picking up, is right after that. It's in Luke 2, verse 8, and it says this. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This was a message that was super important to the shepherds, important to the people of the time, but important to us as well. And if we're going to look at the full meaning behind this, I think we've got to start with who the message was given to. Shepherds. They were almost for sure young. A lot of times the youngest child in the family, both male and female, would be the one who would watch after the family's flocks. We don't know if that was the case here. They could have been watching other people's flocks, in which case they were probably older. But a lot of times they were young, so they could have been young. We do know this. They were lower class. Very few shepherds had enough sheep to give them any kind of affluency. Like almost always, they were lower class. They had a subsistence living. They lived based on their sheep, shearing the sheep, eating the sheep, maybe selling the sheep. They were lower class. We also know that many of the people in God's community considered them unclean because of what they did. They were around dirty, stinky sheep, the sheep's manure, healing cuts and scrapes, dealing with the blood of the sheep, around the pests that were around the sheep. These things would have made them ceremonially unclean so that they couldn't even go to the temple to worship oftentimes. Doesn't seem like the group of people that you would give the announcement to that the Savior of the entire world is being born. Who would you have told? Like, I would have told the important people. I would have told politicians, world rulers, people with money, maybe merchants that were going to travel around and tell the story. Why shepherds? I think one of the reasons is the message is for everyone. The message isn't just for important people. It's for everyone, no matter what age or what stage. I also think it's interesting that the shepherds had nothing to offer. They went and visited Mary and Joseph. They didn't bring gifts. At least it doesn't say they did. Not like the wise men did later. They didn't have anything to offer except for their desire to know the Savior. And I think that should speak to us as well. We can't do anything to make God love us more. He just loves us no matter who we are. Every Jew knew the prophecies about the Messiah. For hundreds of years, God had chosen prophets to go, I am going to send a Savior, a Messiah, to save my people. And really, when he said my people, he was referring to the entire world. Now, these shepherds, they probably would have thought that God was just referring to the Jewish people because that was kind of the common thought at the time among the Jews. But they knew that there was supposed to be somebody that was coming to save them, this Messiah that the Bible talked about. Hundreds of years they had been waiting. And then they're the ones that receive this message. It's finally happened. The Savior has come to the world. The Savior's been born as a baby. This would change everything. For generations, people have been waiting for this moment, and they were the ones that the angels chose to go give this amazing message. I think it's interesting that there were a host of angels after the initial one. Have you ever thought about that? Like, nearly every other story in the Bible where an angel gives a message, there's just one. A lot of times it's the angel Gabriel. He seemed to be the messenger guy. Why this host? And I think the angels were celebrating as much or more as people should have been celebrating. 1 Peter 1 tells us that the angels were watching all of this, wanting to see what would happen. I think sometimes we think angels know everything. They don't. They're created beings like us. They were as excited to see what God was doing as we are. They were making a proclamation. I think it was a celebration for the entire heavenly realms, not just the world. And this message was so important, but how the shepherds responded was important as well. And we get to see what happens in verse 15, what they do with this message. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. We can learn some things from these shepherds in how they responded. And so today I want to pose a series of questions to you and to me that I think we should be thinking about when we think, how did these guys respond? And I think the first thing that we see is they actually believed the message. They went into Bethlehem. They went to see what was happening. Like, they believed, not just like, oh yeah, I think that what the angel said was true. It moved them to action. And the first question for you and to me, does what you believe change your life? Like, do you believe it to the point where it moves you to action? Because let's think about what the angels did. They left the thing that was most important to them up to that time, except for maybe their family, to go pursue something that now was more important. Their sheep were their occupation, their livelihood, it was their financial stability. Apparently, they left their sheep unattended to go see this new thing that was being proclaimed. Have you left pursuits that are now not as important since you've become a believer? If you've become a believer, I think very few of us, if any of us, have all of the same interests, all of the same things that we did since before knowing Christ, because his kingdom is so different than what the world teaches us to pursue. Maybe for some of you, you used to chase money and stuff, and you're like, that's no longer the important thing. Maybe it was status, people liking you. Maybe some of you have left relationships because those relationships were pulling you away from Jesus, not pointing you to Jesus. I think one of the things that's interesting is it says they told everyone their message. They just went around and said, hey, everybody, this is what happened. We've also been given a message. Do you share the message given to you? And I want to say this, the message that we have is even more important than the message that they were given. Here's what I mean. They were told the Savior has come. They had no idea what that meant. They believed that the Savior was going to come and free them from Roman the fact that the Romans ruled them. We know because of the New Testament that the Savior takes care of our biggest problem, our sin problem, to bring us freedom for all eternity. We have a greater message than they did. They told everybody who would listen, do we do the same? Think about how excited you would be if you had the cure for cancer and it was 100% effective. Like, cancer is a horrible disease that just wreaks havoc among families. Could you imagine sitting down with a family of somebody who had cancer and getting to go, the bad news is you've got cancer. The good news is I've got the cure. And it is 100% effective. Wouldn't you give that message with joy? Every human being on this earth has spiritual cancer. Short of the healing that comes from the Savior, people will die a spiritual death for all eternity. How can we not share that information with people? I think there are some reasons why. Like, in order for people to hear the good news, they got to hear the bad news, right? You've got spiritual cancer. Your sin's going to kill you. And maybe they won't believe it. Maybe they're resistant to that. Maybe there's reasons that they wouldn't believe it. I think even people that recognize, yep, my life is not going the way that I want. I can tell that I'm sick, spiritually sick. they may not believe we have the cure. Why? Because the world's told them that there's a cure for their world that's not working right. It's chase more stuff. It's be all you can be. These things will make you feel better when they don't actually do it. So when we bring the real cure, sometimes people won't listen. And my question is this, does that stop you from sharing the message? Last week, Gabe talked about the fact that this isn't our story. Our story is not our story. We are a bit part in God's story. His story is the important one. Are we worried about how people will think about us or receive us if we give them this message? It's not our message. It's God's message. He's the important one. I think one reason that people don't share their faith is they're worried about not knowing all the answers. In this cancer analogy, maybe you would be hesitant to tell people about the cure when they start going, yeah, but how does it work? Like, what's it do on a molecular level? I don't know. I don't have a big brain like that. All I can tell you is it worked. And that's exactly what the shepherds did. The shepherds weren't theologians. They couldn't answer every religious question that people had. All they were able to do is go, this is what happened. Angel came and told us this stuff. We went and checked it out, and it was exactly what he said. And oh, by the way, he said this baby's the Savior that we've been waiting for. Do you share your testimony? Like, I can answer a lot of people's theological questions because of my job, because I've had years to be able to study it. Can I just tell you that that's not the thing that convinces most people to follow Jesus? The thing that convinces most people to follow Jesus is a real person that will go, my life has been changed, and they want to see that person and go, maybe my life can be changed like that too. That's what brings people to Jesus. I think they gain boldness by being a group, don't you? I think if there was just one shepherd who got the message, he goes in, finds a baby, like, wouldn't you be hesitant to tell people if you were the only one? You'd be thinking, they're gonna think I'm crazy or drunk or lying or something, like I'm making up stories. But a group of them experiencing that together, knowing that the whole group was telling people the same story, gave them boldness. And it does us too. I talk to so many Christians that don't have Christian friends. They don't have Christian connections. We talk all the time about getting into a life group and being in relationship with people. Because it's what's best for us. It gives us boldness to walk in a path towards God. It gives us boldness to share the message that we've been given because we know other people are doing that as well. I think it's interesting that they went back to their normal life. That's what it said. They went back to their flocks, praising and glorifying God. They didn't feel the need to hit the public speaking circuit. Doesn't say that they started pursuing the priesthood. They went back to doing what they did. And sometimes we don't share our faith because we think we don't have a platform. Like, I'm not a pastor on staff at a church, or I just don't have influence like a lot of people. Guys, very few people are called into vocational ministry to be on staff at a church. We believe every single Christian is a minister. These shepherds were ministers because they shared what they knew. They shared their story. There's a couple at our church, Chad and Jody Booth. They are ministers. They're public school teachers at one of our high schools in our area, and they minister every day they go to school. So much so that years ago, we invited Chad to be on staff with us, to join our youth ministry. We're like, man, he's making disciples. He loves youth. We're gonna invite him to be one of our youth ministers. And he did fine. And at the end of that couple years, all of us, Chad and Jody, our staff, agreed that Chad was called to the public school system. He was better there than he was on our staff because that's how God's gifted him. And he ministers all the time. My family's been beneficiaries of them being in the public school. My grandkids have been at a school where they're at. Every single one of us is a minister. I think they were changed forever. I think that those shepherds never forgot that story, and I think they would still tell that story to whoever would listen. Is it evident that you've been changed in your everyday life? At work, at school? Do people know you're a Christian? Because it's pretty hard to share this Christian message if people don't know we're a Christian. And I think that involves words. Like, we have to actually share it, but oftentimes the thing that gives us the right to share the words is the fact that we're living differently and people are curious why we make the choices that we make. And then we get to share. One of the things that I think is super interesting, the shepherds didn't get to choose what people did with their message. It says people were astonished. Doesn't say what they did with it. Doesn't say that people were converted to now start following the Messiah, this baby that was born. They don't seem concerned with that. They were just sharing the message. And I know for me, one of the things that used to hang me up from sharing my faith was believing that it was my responsibility to make sure somebody was converted. Guys, I'm going to alleviate some responsibility from you. It's not your job to close the deal. It's not. That's the Holy Spirit's job. All we can do is share our story. Share about this Jesus that we know that's transformed our life. And then it's the Holy Spirit's job to do what he's going to do. Isn't that a relief? It's not on us to convert somebody to become a Christian. The shepherds went back to business. As much as there is in that first message, there's another message that's different that was given by a guy named Simeon. It was 40 days after Jesus was born. We know that because they went to the temple for the purification ceremony that happened 40 days after a Jewish boy was born. Mary and Joseph go to the temple, and in verse 25 it says this. At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly awaiting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Could you imagine that being this guy? Hundreds of years they had been waiting for the Messiah, and God says, hey, by the way, you're not going to die before he's born. And so he was waiting. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms. Kind of makes you wonder if they were like, stranger danger. But apparently they led him. And he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said. We don't know how old Simeon was. Probably older, but we do know this. Once he had seen Jesus, once he had seen the Savior, he had seen God's plan fulfilled, nothing else mattered. He said, God, now I can die in peace. I've seen it. Question for you and for me, is it the same way for us? You see, once he saw God's plan revealed, once he had received the fulfillment of the message that he had been given, everything else paled in comparison. Does everything else pale in comparison for you? Chasing stuff, chasing popularity, even our families, which are good, do they pale in comparison to the knowledge of who God is and wanting to join him in what he's doing? Because we get that opportunity. Do you actually ever pray about that? God, give me an opportunity today to share something about you. Because here's what I know. When I do that, I actually get more opportunities. I don't know if the opportunities are always there and I'm just not paying attention otherwise, or if it's that God gives me more opportunities when I pray that because I have his heart. But I get more opportunities. It's amazing that it doesn't show that there's any other indication that Simeon ever shared this message with anybody else. He might have, but my point is this. I think sometimes our message is to a broad audience, whoever will listen. But I find that more often than not, the people that listen best are the people that we're already in relationship with. Sometimes the message is for one person, and that's how it's received best. Sharing your faith on social media, as long as it's done well, is great. There's just very few people that are ever going to come to know Christ in a saving way through our social media posts. It happens through being in relationship with them, which is hard sometimes because when we're in relationship with people, they also know our junk too, right? A lot of times they've seen us at our worst, but we know that relationship is how most people come to Christ. I love what 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20 says. Says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. That's what we're talking about. Has your life been changed to where people can see it? It says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And he has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Guys, that's our task. That's our mission. Bringing people to God. It says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful what? Message. He gave us this message to proclaim. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the message and the mission in one scripture. That's our job and that's our message. Do we do it? The fact that it's for every single person on the planet, it applies to everyone, should cause us to share it more. That's what Simeon said. Simeon, his message said, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people, not just the Jews, which is what they would have believed at this point. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. God had been trying to get the Israelites to do that for hundreds of years, and they were just doing a really crummy job of it. So Jesus came to pave the way to bringing it to everyone. As important as the message is that we have, and do you see yourself as an ambassador? Because if you do, it will change the way you share it. Sharing it in the right way is important as well, right? Think about that. We have the greatest message to tell anyone. We need to give it in a right way. I'm so tired of Christians that are known for what they're against more than what they're for. Don't do this, and you guys are horrible because you believe that and you do that. How about sharing a message of faith and hope and love that there's a God that wants to be in relationship with people? I'm probably going to step on some of your toes today, depending on how active you are in social media. Telling everybody they're idiots because they say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas is not sharing the good news of Jesus. I actually have seen people, when somebody goes happy holiday, and they're like, it's Merry Christmas, right? Some of us need to change our face when we're saying Merry Christmas to go, we actually have good news to tell you why Christmas should be merry. How we share this message is important so that people will actually receive the greatest message ever told. Do you personally accept the message? Have you accepted it in a way that's changed your life? Man, if you've not done that today, if you've not bowed your head and your heart before God and said, God, I need you, please don't leave today without doing that. In the seat back pocket in front of you, there's a card. We would love it if you would fill that out. Say, I'm interested in hearing about what it looks like to follow Jesus. You can drop it in a box, or better yet, take it to the connection point in the back. We have people that would love to talk to you about that. For a lot of us, we've already made that decision. Who needs to hear this amazing message that we have? Who do you know? I think sometimes we don't share because we're worried that somehow God won't change somebody else's life like we have, like he's changed ours. Some of us have been healed of broken marriages. Some of us have been healed from addiction, physical addiction or mental addiction. Why wouldn't God want to do that for somebody else as well? Why wouldn't we believe that he's got the cure for people's ultimate problem, their sin problem? Gabe told us about our opportunity to invite people to Christmas Eve services, a time when people will come to church when they don't normally come to church if we will invite them. I guarantee if you invite somebody to the services this Christmas Eve, they will hear a message about the gospel. They will hear a message about a God that loves them so much he would put on flesh, become human, and die for their sins. As we do this week, I pray that we'll tell it in a way that makes it so that people can receive it easily. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, I'm so thankful for your sacrifice, not only the sacrifice of dying for us, but leaving heaven for 33 years and living as a human so that we would know how much God loves us. Lord, as we go out this week praying about who we should invite, who we should share this message with, I pray that you would give us opportunities. I pray that we would get to see people's hearts and lives transformed, not by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, may we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise to you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.